ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 25 द ग्लोरीज ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस टेक्स्ट 13 श्री भगवान उवाच योगा आध्यात्मिकः पुंसां मत निःश्रेयसाय मे अत्यंत परतीर यत्र दुःखस्य च सुखस्य च। श्री भगवान उवाच योग आध्यात्मिकः पुंसां मत निःश्रेयसाय मे अत्यन्तो परतिर्यत्र दुःखस्य च सुखस्य च। योग आध्यात्मिकः पुंसां मतो निःश्रेयसाय मे अत्यन्तो परतिर्यत्र दुःखस्य च सुखस्य च। योग आध्यात्मिकः पुंसां मतो निःश्रेयसाय मे अत्यन्तो परतिर्यत्र दुःखस्य च सुखस्य च। श्री भगवान उवाच द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड इट सेल योग द योग सिस्टम आध्यात्मिक रिलेटिंग टू द सोल पुंसाम ऑफ लिविंग एंटिटीज मत इट is approved nishreyashaya for the ultimate benefit may by me atyanta complete uparati detachment yatra where dukhasya from distress cha and sukhasya from happiness cha and. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Personality of Godhead answered, the yoga system which relates to the Lord and the individual soul, which is meant for the ultimate benefit of the living entity, and which causes detachment from all happiness and distress in the material world, is the highest yoga system. Please repeat after me. The Personality of Godhead answered, the yoga system which relates to the Lord and the individual soul, which is meant for the ultimate benefit of the living entity and which causes detachment from all happiness and distress in the material world is the highest yoga system. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the material world, everyone is trying to get some material happiness. But as soon as you get some material happiness, there is also material distress. In the material world, one cannot have unadulterated happiness. Any kind of happiness one has is contaminated by distress also. For example, if we want to drink milk, then you have to bother to maintain a cow and keep her fit to supply milk. Drinking milk is very nice, it's also pleasure. But for the sake of drinking milk, one has to accept so much trouble. The yoga system, as he has stated by the Lord, is meant to end all trouble. The yoga system, as he has stated by the Lord, is meant to end all material happiness and material distress. The best yoga as taught in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna is Bhakti Yoga. It is also mentioned in the Gita that one should try to be tolerant and not be disturbed by material happiness and distress. Of course, one may say that he is not disturbed by material happiness, but he does not know that just after one enjoys so-called material happiness, material distress will always follow. This is the law of the material world. Lord Kapila states that the yoga system is the science of the spirit soul. One practices yoga in order to attain perfection on the spiritual platform. There is no question of material happiness or distress. It is transcendental. The Lord Kapila is eventually, Lord Kapila will eventually explain how it is transcendental by the preliminary introduction is given here. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yoga Adhatmika Pungshan, Mato Nishraya Sayame, Attanto Paratirjata, Dukkhasacha Sukhasacha. The personality of Godhead answered, the yoga system which relates to the Lord and the individual soul, which is meant for the ultimate benefit of the living entity, and which causes detachment from all happiness and distress in the material world, is the highest yoga system. Yoga Adhatmika Pungsham. So, this is Adhatmika Yoga, and Prabhupada has translated the yoga relating to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and a living entity. The word yoga means connection, link. Yog, 2 plus 2, plus. 2 plus 2 is 4. Living entity plus God is? Yes, bhakti yoga, devotional service. When a living entity establishes his relationship or connection, yoga means yuk to be connected. Sannasa yoga yuktena. One becomes detached from material nature to become attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So real yoga, as Kapil Dev is explaining here, is bhakti yoga. There are other yogas. Ashtanga yoga, dhyana yoga, jnana yoga, karma yoga, raja yoga. So many different yogas are there. But all those yogas are somehow trying to establish one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the ultimate point, like say, how karma yoga, what is karma yoga? What is karma yoga? What is the definition of karma yoga? The definition of karma yoga is when the karma or activity is rendered for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is karma yoga. Because by the karma, some connection is being established to the Lord. Similarly, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga. So they are trying to establish a relationship with the Lord. But what is the perfected stage of that yoga? The perfected stage of the yoga is complete realization of God and complete realization of the soul. Who is God? Who is Krishna? Who is the super soul? Who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Who is He? What's His definition? He is the Supreme Proprietor, He is the Supreme Controller, He is the Supreme Enjoyer, He is the Supreme. Supreme, Parama Ishvara. Ishvara, we get the definition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this way, as Ishvaraha Parama Krishna. He is the Parama Ishvara, He is the Supreme Controller. And who are we? Who are the living entities? Krishna is the supreme proprietor, supreme controller, supreme Ishvara. And we are smaller than the smallest. We are very, very minor, jivatma, vibhinna amsa. So as a jivatma, when the jivatma understands the Paramatma, Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what happens? Then, when we understand that Krishna is the supreme controller, then will we try to control ourselves? If we properly understand that Krishna is the supreme controller, then will we want to control ourselves anymore?
We'll have all the restraint.
What's that?
We'll have all the restraint to be yourself.
When you understand that Krishna is the supreme controller, then we realize that we are controlled. We are not the controller. So then, that leads us to surrender. And this surrender is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga. Surrender, Sharanagati. That's why Bhakti, as Chaitanya, as it has been pointed out by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that Bhakti actually begins with surrender or Sharanagati. Bhakti is the process of Sharanagati. Ottanto durlabho prem koribare dan shikhaye sharanagati bhagote upas. Krishna, in order to distribute this very, very rare Krishna prem, ottanto durlabho prem koribare dan shikhaye sharanagati, he is teaching us the process of surrender. So this is how we can see that all the other systems or spiritual practices or the yoga systems, they are different rungs of a ladder, different steps of a staircase. And bhakti is the roof, the topmost. We come through different rungs. Generally, one comes. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, ashtanga yoga, and so forth. They are different stages. But when it comes to the roof or the ultimate, we are climbing the stairs to go to the certain point. And what is that point? That point is pure devotion without any other tinge. Like in that respect, what is karma yoga? Karma plus bhakti is karma yoga. What is jnana yoga? Jnana plus bhakti is jnana yoga. What is ashtanga yoga? The practice of this ashtanga processes with bhakti is ashtanga yoga. So without bhakti they won't become yoga. It is yoga only when it is for Krishna or connected to Krishna. That is why it is yoga. Connected to Krishna, for Krishna. Directly or indirectly. So that is why these are yoga. Like so many people are going to the offices and working so hard. So many people are working in the factories. Do we call them karma yogis? Some fool will call them karma yogis. Some people did, like a person called Vivekananda. He said, they are karma yogis. They are working in the fields and producing eggplants. But the real karma yoga is when the karma is for Krishna. Jat karosi, jadasnasi, jat juhasi, dadasi jat, jat tapushoshi konteya, tat kurusha madarpanam. Madarpanam. When that karma is, or whatever action we perform when it is offered to Krishna, madarpanam, arpanam to Krishna, then it is karma yoga. Same thing applies to jnana yoga and other yoga systems. But when that yoga or when that bhakti is without any other contamination. When it is bhakti, just for the sake of bhakti, that is called pure devotion also. Like for example, like I have to take some medicine. I am suffering, say from indigestion. So I have to take the medicine. So I mix the medicine with water and I drink it. Right? My need is the medicine, so I am taking the medicine, but I am taking it with water. So I am drinking it with water. Then I have a headache, I have another medicine, I am drinking it with water. I have backache, I am taking another medicine. Now, these are all water mixed with medicine. Is it pure water? So when the water is without any contamination, nothing is mixed with water, then only it's pure water. So similarly, this Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Dhyana Yoga, these are according to our desire, we have certain propensities, we have certain tendencies, and when those tendencies are dovetailed towards Krishna, then they are called that kind of yoga. We have tendency to work for our own pleasure, but offering the results to Krishna, Karma Yoga. I'm not doing it purely for Krishna's sake, I'm doing it for my sake. I like to do it. Therefore, I'm doing it, but I offer the result to Krishna. Karma, that is Karma Yoga. I want to learn, I want to become a big pandit, I want to intellectually understand everything. But when that understanding is directed towards Krishna, then that is Jnana Yoga. Or the result of the understanding is Krishna, then it is Jnana Yoga. But when I am doing something just for the sake of Krishna's pleasure, I do not have any personal motivation, then that is called pure devotion. So just for Krishna's pleasure. Water, even if the water is mixed with gold, it's impure water. Or does the water become more pure if it is mixed with gold? Even though gold is so valuable, but when water is mixed with gold, it is no more pure water. Water is mixed with sugar, it may taste good, but still it is not pure water. So the pure water is pure water. So devotion, when it is pure without any other motivation, that is called pure devotional service. When devotional service is without any other, is not mixed with any other motivation, then it is pure devotion. Annabhilashita shunnam. Abhilash. Abhilash means desire. Shunnam means devoid, free. Annabhilashita shunnam, free from any other desire. Jnana karmad anabritam. It is uncovered. It is not covered anymore by even jnana and karma. Anukullena krishna anushilanam. It's only for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. Bhakti uttama, that is pure devotion. So that is what Kapil Dev is informing as the beginning, as the introduction to what he has to tell his mother in response to her questions. Yoga adhyatmikaha pungshan. Adhyatmik yoga. That means yoga pertaining to jivatma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the process is connecting to the living entity with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the Nishreyasaya. The word Nishreyasaya means for the ultimate benefit. And me matam is my conclusion. It's my matam. Mata is, it is approved by me, or it is my opinion. The Sanskrit word for mata, the word mata means opinion, or is here Prabhupada is pointing out that it has been approved by me. And as a result of that, which is meant for the ultimate benefit of the living entity, and which causes detachment from all happiness and distress in the material world. Now, Prabhupada in the purport, that point, he is making that point, that material happiness is always mixed with distress. Happiness goes, distress comes. And in order to get happiness, we have to undergo so much difficulty, so much distress. We are seeing, especially nowadays, people are working so hard to get some money. The Maya is making all these allurements. Big buildings, big cars, big facilities for enjoyment. So Maya says, these are the objects of enjoyment. Come, come, enjoy. But in order to do that, they have to work so hard. They have to work so hard. Recently I came across one expression, which is very, very relevant, very, very pertinent. It says that people nowadays are wasting their youth to earn money, and then they're spending all the money to get their youth back. The young people, they're working so hard. Actually, it's really painful. I mean, when we were in college, in universities, I mean, we never worked so hard. And I think I spent most of our time in the cafeteria than in the class. And we never bothered about good results, competitive results to get a good job, and life was not that difficult. But now we are seeing that the young boys, 16, 17 years old, they have to work so hard in order to get the admission in the school, in the engineering college. Brilliant boys, they have to work so hard. So what is actually happening? There is some allurement and they are just trying to get that. Come, enjoy. So what, I mean, happiness is, some sort of happiness is there in the material nature. But to get that happiness, one has to work so hard. Or one has to perform so much austerity. Say for example, another very good example is elevation to heavenly planet. The people used to perform such severe austerity to be elevated to the heavenly planet. And when they got here, I mean, what, like for 64,000 years, they performed austerity. No eating, no sleeping, no breathing, no drinking. And then finally the chariot came from heavenly planet to take them there. And then they would enjoy in the heavenly planet for some time. And then kshine punne martha lokam vishanti. When there, punna, piety is exhausted, then they mortal lokam vishanti, come back, fall down into the material nature. And another example, of course, it's that can be even more relevant here, is that in Europe it's very common practice, like in countries like Germany, Sweden, Denmark, Holland, where weather is quite severe. Weather is very severe. Even in England. England, of course. Weather is the worst. Sun never rises in England. When we were young, we were under the impression that in England they get a holiday called Sunshine Holiday. I don't know whether it was true, but I heard that we had a clear understanding. I mean, we thought that, we really believed in that, that when the sun came up, the school used to get holidays. Sunshine holiday. And we used to think that if we had a system like that, so I mean, the way the people work so hard, especially in those northern part of Europe, and throughout the year they work so hard, and then they get 1 month's holiday and they go to Italy or Spain or Greece, where the weather is very beautiful, especially in summer. So they work so hard for a whole year just to go there for 1 month, spend all their savings, and then come back and start working hard again. That is the material nature. They are just working so hard in order to just get some trivial material enjoyment. So enjoyment comes after a lot of struggle in the material nature. Somebody may say that, well, somebody is born as a son of a rich man, the father made a lot of money and he has all the money to spend. But if we go back, then we'll find that in his previous life he must have performed a lot of austerities. That's why he was born in a rich family. And even then, anyway, so the point is that Kapil Devi is pointing out here that all material happiness is in this material, all happiness in this material nature is an outcome or the result of a hard labor, hard distress. Lot of distress generates some material happiness, and after the happiness is over, then they have to get into the distressful condition again. But the ultimate benefit, or Nishreya Shaya, is to surrender unto Krishna. Then there is no distress. If you surrender unto Krishna, then there is no distress. Now that question may be that point may be a little confusing sometimes, because people say, well, we are seeing that the devotees are suffering. Like we see so many devotees suffer from disease and so many things. But the point is that a devotee doesn't suffer. Apparently his body may go through difficulties, but because he has taken shelter of Krishna, he is not affected by that. Because he has taken shelter of Krishna. He accepts both suffering and enjoyment as Krishna's mercy. Because he knows if there is some difficulty, it's simply meant for him to make advancement in the spiritual life. How? Because the devotee knows that he has taken shelter of Krishna, and Krishna will do whatever is necessary for him. And that is the meaning of the word Nishreyashaya, for the ultimate benefit. Krishna knows what is good for me. Therefore, whatever he is doing is for my benefit. Whatever Krishna is doing with me is for my benefit. If I'm suffering, well, Krishna is forcing me to become more surrendered to him, depend upon him. If I am undergoing physical difficulties, Krishna is forcing me or helping me to become free from bodily attachment. If Krishna has put me into a poverty-stricken condition, it is for my benefit. Because if I had a lot of money, then I could have fallen into Maya. So this poverty-stricken condition is good, because Krishna is keeping me safe on my spiritual path. So because a devotee sees everything in the light of Krishna consciousness, therefore in every situation he is happy. So that is the difference. Devotee goes through difficulty. But all those difficulties he accept as his for his ultimate benefit. So that is the point that Srila Kapila Dev is making, that a living entity can be in two situations, material situation and spiritual situation. Material situation is a mixture of happiness and distress. And this, although it is a mixture of happiness and distress, in the long run we see that it is full of distress. Material existence is actually full of distress, full of suffering, dukkhalayam, full of distress. Whereas the spiritual platform, which begins with the surrender to Krishna, in that platform everything is joyful. Even suffering is joyful. Because there comes, it is with Krishna's arrangement. When you apparently go through suffering, Krishna actually gives us the spiritual enlightenment to not be affected by the suffering condition. So, to become very good devotees by surrendering yourselves to Krishna and becoming free from all other desire for material enjoyment. Don't look for material enjoyment. It will come and go automatically. But when you become situated on a spiritual platform, then you will see that how the life becomes full of enjoyment. Bhishma Dev is lying in a bed of arrows and his consciousness is completely pure. He is giving such wonderful advice. When I think of the scene of Bhishma Dev in the bed of arrows, I often think of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's last few months was, Prabhupada was physically going through a lot of difficulty. But Prabhupada's consciousness was not at all affected. His body was going through a lot of difficulty, suffering condition. But his consciousness was absolutely pure, so much so that he is translating Srimad Bhagavatam. He is giving purports to Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. Prabhupada doesn't have the strength to hold the microphone himself. One of the devotees used to hold the microphone. And Pradyumna Prabhu, Prabhupada, Sanskrit editor, he used to read the verse. Prabhupada couldn't sit up. He was lying in bed. Prabhupada's condition was so weak that Prabhupada himself couldn't turn to his side. We had to help him to turn to his side if he wanted, because lying on his back all the time was very difficult, painful for him. And he would tell us to help him to turn to his side. And we would very carefully help him to turn to his side. Because if we are not careful, then Prabhupada could get hurt. But even in that condition, he doesn't have the strength to even hold a microphone. He doesn't even have the strength to even sit up. What to speak of, read the book himself. A devotee was reading the Sanskrit verse to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was giving the translation and purport to those verses. Body is in such a critical condition, but he is not affected by that. That is pure Krishna consciousness. Similarly, Bhishma Dev, lying on a bed of arrows, what a brilliant advice he gave to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So this is a pure devotee. He is not affected by his physical condition. His consciousness is beyond his body's condition. We all have to face the situation sooner or later. There will be a time when the body will become useless, body will become incapable, and we'll be lying in bed waiting for death, waiting for the time for the soul to leave the body. It will be difficult, physically it will be difficult, but if we remain Krishna, if we become Krishna conscious, then we won't be affected by that. And we see so many devotees who are leaving their bodies in Krishna consciousness. There we can see that they are not affected by that. One of our god sisters in England, she had cancer and she decided not to take chemotherapy. Cancer's cure now is chemotherapy. And chemotherapy in many cases is quite effective. But her point was like, if the body has to die, like, why try to prolong the duration in this body? So she didn't take any chemotherapy. And she left her body in such pure consciousness, without taking any medicine. So that's how a devotee becomes, a devotee transcends his body. And we are seeing, it's not only the the men devotees, even the female devotees, so many of them have displayed such advanced condition. So many times I mentioned also devotees like Jahnava's mother, Savitri Priya, the way she left her body, such a brilliant example. The doctor said that she has only 7 days left, at the most. I was in America, so I decided to go and see her. And she was in London. When I was driving, I was thinking that probably she'll be bedridden, completely incapacitated. But when I went there, she just got out of her bed to offer obeisances to me. No matter how much I was telling, please don't do that, just keep lying there, you don't have to offer obeisances. She just came out of the bed and offered obeisances. Her consciousness was completely clear. I asked her what she wanted, and she wanted me to sing a bhajan. And when she left her body, she had the japamala in her hand. She was chanting, not only chanting, at the time when she was leaving the body, she took the japamala, placed it on her head, left her body.
And she was full of smiling.
Yeah.
A smoke.
So this is how you can see, like, apparently, you all know, many of you know, that's Lila Purushottam's wife. Like, she was just an ordinary housewife, not very educated, but when one leaves his body, her, leaves his or her body, we can see where she must have gone. And this is how effective Krishna consciousness is. Can a yogi leave his body like that? No. Only a devotee can leave her body like that. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare. Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned how a devotee is above happiness and distress. So, because he knows that whatever Krishna does is for my benefit. Now, while practicing Krishna consciousness, we hear this thing and we try to remember this, there is distraction due to attachments. Although we try to remember, yes, Krishna is taking care of me. However, there is distraction when we are engaged in certain things, especially due to our attachments. So now, how do we avoid that distraction, keep the consciousness constantly in our mind? Not just for some time, but always remember that we don't have to be affected by happiness and distress.
You see, the most important consideration in this respect is practice. Difficulty, it's difficult, just as Krishna, Arjuna told Krishna, Chanchala Himana Krishna Pramathi Balavadvayam Tasyaham Nigraham Manne Bayuri Vasu Duskar. As difficult as controlling the wind. But Krishna's simple answer was Abhyasena Tu Kunti Vairagyena Chaturvidha. Practice. So that's why we have this process of sadhana bhakti. Practice means sadhana bhakti. This practice will bring us to the platform of perfection. Nothing else can do that. The sadhana bhakti only will bring us to the platform of pure devotion. If we see that the mind is being distracted, try to bring the mind, like, deal with the situation as it is necessary. Yes, attachment is there. If we realize that the attachment is there, then we try to offer that attachment to Krishna. That not for me, it's for Krishna. That's why the first part of devotion, first phase of devotion is karma yoga. Attachment is there. We want this attachment. But we are transforming that attachment by offering the results to Krishna. I'm attached to this thing. What to do? Okay, get it. Because negation is not going to work. If the negation is not going to work, then let me get it. But let me get it for Krishna. So that way, the tendency, the propensities, as Prabhupada used to say, being dovetailed. Propensities are being dovetailed. Like, we are not saying no. We are saying go for Krishna. We are simply adding Krishna to that. And Prabhupada's classic example about that was that Krishna is that one making or multiplying all the zeros by 10. All our endeavors are zeros. But when you do it for Krishna, then it is getting a spiritual touch. So Krishna consciousness is no, not no, the process of no, not neti-neti. We are not saying no, we are saying yes for Krishna. So any other question?
This question being passed through this in my mind, I wanted to clear. It's not related to this class, it's regarding the issue of Raghava Prabhu from Scotland, the devotee of Shri Prabhupada, and Ratnavali, the disciple in the island. This is a big article, not teaching. So I wanted to enlighten us a little bit on this.
You see, like my answer to her was, don't dwell in that. Past is not important. What really matters is the future.
And she got so much deep into it to discover, the whole mystery has come down.
Don't we believe in reincarnation?
Yeah, but I'm saying.
What's the big deal? Like, if we believe in reincarnation, is it possible? Yes, it's possible. So what?
It's
so, I will put it this way, that is it possible? What's the answer?
Reincarnation is possible, yes.
Then?
So, it's a fact.
I don't want to comment on that. The thing is, I don't want to comment on that because it becomes a big issue. That.
Oh, awesome. Because she's going around it, and I met her husband, and I feel guilty. Did I commit any offense? Because I was an instrument to get a medical loan. My parents were crying the whole time. And I had to convince
your instrumental for?
For getting her married to Krishna Vidhi.
Okay, okay.
Her parents were crying, you know, and they didn't want it her to get married to the foreigner, white devotee, etc. Since I was vice president, that's why I had to, you know, preach to them. Finally, they did accept. And I took a guarantee that as long as I was there, I will take care. And she'll go right with Krishna Vidhi. You know. Now I met Krishna Vidhi, so they're separated. They're divorced officially.
But they are still.
They're both in.
Friends.
They're friends now. They're friends.
Anyway, so are you satisfied now?
Did I commit any offense?
No. That's all right. Like, my point is, you know, like so many times I see devotees get into their past life and, you know, hypnotic regression and, you know, I was this in my life. Why dwell in that? Whatever I may have been in the past life is not important. What matters is what I am in this life. And what will matter even more is what's going to happen to me in future life. That is the important consideration.
Very true.
Like, for example, in a past life, Nahusha became Indra. King Nahusha became Indra. And then he became a lizard. So what's the point in thinking that, you know, he was Indra, now he's a lizard. So, and that's where you have to deal with. As a lizard, he can't act like Indra. As a lizard, he has to act like a lizard. So any other question? Yes?
This relates to fear, what I was thinking is that eventually when somebody leaves their body in an accident, then we assume that they will take the ghostly body. And in her case, she was thinking of another female and therefore she came with a female body. But Prabhupada gave instruction that they should perform the shrad ceremony after 3 days and so on.
Well,
so is this to see that this is actually Prabhupada's mercy in the shelter?
Yeah. Like for devotees, all those rules do not apply. You know, the accidental death. For a devotee, it's all different. Abhimanyu, how did Abhimanyu die? Right. How did Tamakrishna Maharaj leave his body? Now, is it an accidental death will lead to that kind of? No. A devotee is a devotee. I mean, devotee is under Krishna's care. But of course, one should commit suicide. But even then, Chota Haridas committed suicide. Mahaprabhu approved it. He became a Gandharva. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to you.